Revelation chapter 12. Last week we covered chapter 11. And in chapter 11 we saw two main themes. We saw the two witnesses and then the sounding of the seventh trumpet. And the bottom line is, whether in judgment or in glory or mercy or whatever, God's witness is always present. In verses 1 through 2 of chapter 11, we see that John is given a measuring rod. He's supposed to measure the temple, the holy place, and the inner court, not measure the outer court, because that's trampled under by ungodly people. And God wants us to measure the holy part in our life and see if it measures up to Him. He sets the standard. What temple were they measuring? Measuring what was going to come into the millennium. Then in verses 3 through 6, we see the prophecy of the two witnesses. Their purpose was to show the power of God. There is the false prophet and there's the Antichrist. Satan is having his way, but God, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. We are more than overcomers through Him that loved us. Their powers are powers of Old Testament. They can shut up heaven and it won't rain. They can turn water into blood. They can breathe fire and kill people by fire coming out of their mouth. These things are Old Testament stuff, and you ask yourself, who are they? We don't know. Don't know. It'll be interesting to watch from heaven. And the world will be watching. And these two witnesses torment the earth. Folks, the truth is light and darkness. And people don't like darkness. That's what the Bible says. The death of the two witnesses, they prevail. The forces of evil prevail against these two witnesses. And they die in where? Where do they die?
Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. They're desecration. They're not allowed to be buried. And their dead bodies are broadcast all over the world. And everybody sees it. And everybody's having a good time. Because these tormentors are done. See, the world wants to silence people who convict them. The world wants to silence someone who's standing for the right and for the truth. And when they get silenced, they're happy because they can go on and do what they want to do. And we see the death of the two witnesses and the world's delight. In verses 11 through 13, however, after 3.5 days, guess what? They come back to life. Not only do they come back to life, there's a voice from heaven say, come up hither, and they ascend in heaven. And everybody that was watching them celebrating is, uh-oh, they're in awe of this. The results on the earth is that there's now earthquakes and all sorts of things happening because the seventh trumpet is about to sound. The third woe is announced in verses 14 through 18. The woe itself, actually, the seventh trumpet unleashes seven more judgments, the bowl judgments, which we'll get to in a couple of weeks, but not right now. And then the worship in heaven. God's plan is now being fulfilled. You know, it's neat when you get to see, it'll be nice when you go out to 1604 and you'll see all that construction done. And then you'll get on the road and go, ah, this is great. Won't it be even greater when we see God's plan prophesied in the Old Testament all through eternity come to fruition? And folks, we'll be there. We'll see it. We'll see it. The wrath on earth, it's going to be like never, ever seen before. And then you see the temple opened in heaven. For those in heaven, they can see it. For those looking in heaven, they can see it too. Are you looking for the temple? Are you looking for God's glory? Are you looking for His awesomeness? We ought to be. We ought to be. So tonight, we're going to see the conflict in heaven. This is the end of Satan's access to heaven. In all of chapter 12. You know Satan can go to heaven right now. He can stand in the presence of God and do what? Accuse us. Accuse us. We learned that in Zechariah chapter 3. There was Joshua the high priest, and he was in dirty garments, and Satan was in the presence right against him as a prosecuting attorney, pointing his finger at him, standing before Christ. That's going to be over. Job. We've studied the book of Job. Satan goes to God, and he has the permission to touch Job. But see, God's always in control. And we need to understand the magnitude of the spiritual warfare between God and Satan. And folks, go read Ephesians chapter 6. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. This is not a game. It's spiritual warfare. Now, it's interesting, in chapter 12 is a chapter where you see all the actors of the spiritual warfare through the ages. Everyone that's part of God's plan, there's seven of them. In chapter 12, we see the woman. The woman is clearly Israel. Some Bible teachers say it's the church. The church is not here. It is Israel. And tonight we're going to go through a whole bunch of Old Testament scriptures to see the fulfillment in John's vision and revelation. We see the dragon, who is Satan himself, the arch enemy of evil. He is the ruler of all evil. We see the woman bringing forth a man-child. That man-child is Christ. He was promised to Abraham and to the seed. He was promised to Israel. The prophet specified where he was going to be born. He wasn't born in Rome. He was born in Bethlehem. He wasn't crucified in Turkey. He was crucified outside of Jerusalem. In Israel. We see Michael and the angels. Michael is an archangel. He has fought Satan and his powers all through the Old Testament. If not, go read Daniel. Go read Daniel chapter 9. Talks about that he fought with the prince of Persia for 3 weeks. 3 weeks. We see Israel as the remnant of the seed. This is the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob is this patriarch of who? Israel. Change his name to what? Israel. The beast out of the sea. The sea that we see now, no pun intended, is basically nations. And this is a world dictator. So when you see out of the sea, it can represent a physical sea, but it also has a symbolic sense as being the sea of nations and all peoples and tongues and countries. And then there's the beast out of the earth. We have seen the key to the bottomless pit. We've seen the smoke rise up. We've seen all these things. And out of the earth comes the false prophet, who is a world religious leader. And, you know, terrible tragedy about the, you know, about the loss and the fire at Notre Dame. Terrible tragedy. And now everybody say, we need to restore that because that's a symbol of Christianity. Is it? is it? People think so. Folks, it's not, Christianity is not what people think. Christianity is what God's Word says. So these are the great actors, and we're going to see them here tonight. First of all, in verses 1 through 2, we see the woman clothed with the sun. It says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. These are signs. These are symbolic. Okay? These are symbolic. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Who is this? Well, in Genesis chapter 37, verses 9 through 11, we say, Joseph, he's dreaming. Okay? He's dreaming. And it says, and he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it to his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Who were the 11 stars in this case? His brothers. Okay? You put Joseph together, how many you get? Let's do math. 11 plus 1 is what? 12. Okay? And it says, and he told it to his father and to his brother. His father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brother indeed come down to bow ourselves to thee on the earth? Absolutely. Just wait some years. It's coming. What God gives to in Revelation is going to come true. It's going to come true. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. When we go through the book of Revelation, we need to observe what we see. We need to observe what we read. We need to check it out against other scripture so we understand what's going on, so we can clearly tell people what they need to know. The travail of the woman. Now, anyone who's given birth to a kid, it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. In Isaiah chapter 66, verses 7 and 8, it says, before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who is Isaiah talking to? Israel. Okay? Who hath heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. It's talking about the sufferings of Israel at Christ's birth. Israel was not a free nation. They were under subjugation of the Roman Empire. They had had all sorts, and not only that, they were under religious oppression of their own rulers. They just didn't know it. They just didn't know it. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, or chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, we're very familiar with verse 6. For unto us a what? Child is born.
Unto us a son is given.
Unto us a son is given. And the government be wrought on his shoulders. Okay? It says, nevertheless, the dimness, what does dimness mean? You can't see. It's dark. You're under persecution. You're under suffering. You're under travail. Shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Who's Zebulun and Naphtali? They're two of the tribes. And afterward did more grievously afflict her by way of the sea beyond Jordan to Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. When Israel was in spiritual darkness, and they're still in spiritual darkness, Christ came as a babe in Bethlehem. He lived a perfect life. For 3 years, and we've been studying this in Matthew, For 3 years, he goes around and he shows himself as God in the flesh. And this is the week where we celebrate, where we remember his crucifixion and resurrection. And we see that in this chapter. We see that in this chapter. So the woman clothed with the sun is Israel. Okay? It's Israel. Before we get to the next part of Revelation 12, let's look at Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. It says, after this I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Verse 24, and the 12 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 2 kings. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, we see the great red dragon, which is Satan. It says, and there appeared another, what? Wonder or another sign in heaven. Okay? And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads. Okay? Some Bible scholars say that those 7 heads are 7 previous empires. They've gone away. Okay? And how many horns? 10. Okay? And 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Okay? Who was in charge when Christ was born? The Romans. Who was the governor? The Romans. Okay? Where is all this going to be revived to? The Romans. Okay? 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns is a revised Roman Empire. Go and look at a map of the old Roman Empire. Look at the map of the EU. And they're very similar. And what have the EU done? They've given up some of their sovereignty to a European Union president. That was the big issue for Brexit. The Brits said, we don't want this anymore. And they voted to remove it. And now it's causing all this turmoil over here. Because you can't get out of line. And the bottom line is about everybody staying in line over there. What did they give up? They gave up their currency. And now there's what? The euro. And now there are 2 benchmarks for currency in the world. There's the dollar and there's the euro. Don't tell me that this is a prophecy being fulfilled. This stuff's happening. Because you've got to have a one world currency to set up control over the economy. You've got to have a one world leader who people give their sovereignty to in order to have this system. And then you need a one world religious state so you can have this religion that's a false religion to make everybody feel good while all this bad stuff's coming down. The significance of red. Satan is a destroyer. He wants you to pay for your own sins with your blood and to exist in a hell for eternity without Christ. Red is war. It's death. It's blood. Okay? The tail, a third. You go read Isaiah 14. You go read Ezekiel. Talks about the prince of Tyrus, talks about Lucifer, the son of the morning. He was the shining cherub. You know, in reality, he is not a dragon. He's a very appealing being to the world. And when he said, I'm going to be like God, God said, oh no, you're not. And he got mad, and a third of the angels followed him and became what? Demons. Okay? So we have all the players for spiritual warfare right here. They're fallen angels which follow Satan. Angels have free will. Angels have free will. The action of the dragon is to what? Stood before the woman who was in what? Childbirth, ready to do what? Devour the child. We've gone through the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2. When the wise men didn't come back to Herod, what did Herod do? He killed all the babies, 2 years old and younger, from Ramah, north of Jerusalem, all the way down to Bethlehem. Herod is a picture of the Antichrist. He's an agent of who? Satan. So we have a challenge. We are the agents of Christ. We are the agents of God. And Satan has his own human agents. And Satan doesn't want Christ to succeed. But here in this chapter, he will realize that he has failed. And he will never succeed. So we have the woman, we have the dragon, and then we have the man-child, which is Christ. In verses 5 through 6, and she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. There's all sorts of prophecies in the Old Testament that talks about Christ. It always talks about when he's ruling. Like in Psalm 2, it says he'll rule with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. In Acts chapter 1, the disciples watched Christ go up in heaven. John has seen Christ in heaven. What is this? Chapter, verse 5 talks about the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. I serve a risen Savior. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Look and live. Look and live. And her child was caught up unto the throne, unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her 1,260 days. A Hebrew year is 360 days, 3.5 years. So all of this is where? This is in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The first 3.5 years are just, it's kind of like business as normal, okay? But this is where the great tribulation happens. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 9, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. You go to the last verse of this psalm, it says, kiss the Son while he's near. Folks, we need to see Christ high and lifted up. We need to understand the resurrection and the power that Christ showed and the power that he gives us, that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death. Caught up is Christ's ascension. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, it's the exact same word. then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up. What? Together. Together as collective body, and together with who? Christ. With them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be ever be with the Lord. The woman's 3.5-year flight. Now there's all sorts of people that say, well, I know where it is, it's Petra. It doesn't say that, just like it doesn't say who the two witnesses are. It's a good guess. But God didn't reveal it. He just says it's gonna happen. Isn't that good enough? Isn't it good enough that God's word says it's going to happen and we have the faith to believe it? Should be good enough. If it's never good enough that we always have to find out more and listen to somebody else about it, then there's something flawed here. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. In the midst of the week, he'll cut it all off. He'll cut it all off. That's where this is talking about. Same thing. Old Testament, New Testament, it's all the same. We serve the same God. There is Christ in the Old Testament. There's Christ in the New Testament. It's exactly the same. The church is not in the Old Testament. The church is in the New Testament. The church is not God the Father's bride. That's Israel. Go check it out. Talks all the time about giving Israel a letter of divorcement. But we are the bride of Christ. He wants presented a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. So the woman's 3.5-year flight, and then she is taken care of. Satan cast out of heaven. This is it. Right now, Satan has access to God to accuse you before the Father when you sin. That's scripture. Okay? Verses 7 and 9. And there was war in heaven. See, God is going to get his way. And he'll move heaven and earth and the universe itself to make it so. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Yay! We win! God wins.
Amen.
Aren't you happy for that?
Amen.
If he doesn't win, then why are we here?
Amen.
And the great dragon was cast out. The old serpent, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Satan's cast out by Michael, the archangel. In the book of Jude, it talks about Michael disputing with Satan over the body of Moses. We see him in Daniel. He is a strong and mighty angel. There's four pictures of Satan that we see here. We see him as the great dragon. He has the keys to the earth right now. But God's going to take him away. Christ's going to take him away. He's great because of the ability of the power and the empire that he dominates. Don't think that you can stand toe to toe with God, with Satan. We can stand toe to toe with Satan when Christ is right there with us. It's Christ that fights the battle. But you yourself? Nah. You must have Christ there. You must have Christ there. That old serpent. Did not God say in Genesis chapter 3, he said to Eve, you won't surely die if you take that, eat of that fruit. You won't do that. As long as mankind has been here, he's been here. The word for devil, the Hebrew word for devil, or means slandering. What does a slanderer do? Speaks bad things, untrue things about other people. That's what slander is. You speak bad things. Libels, you write bad things. But he's a slanderer. That's where devil comes from. And then Satan actually is Hebrew for the word adversary. And he goes around as a what? Roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he is the accuser of the brethren. The coming of Satan's wrath. He is going to, in this passage we see he's going to deceive how much of the world? The whole world. Only Christ can deal with Satan. Only Christ can deal with Satan. And remember, we studied Luke chapter 14. It talks this. Christ said, I saw Satan as lightning fall out of heaven. In verses 10 and 12, it says, and I heard a loud voice. This ought to get you excited, Christian. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night no more.
Amen.
No more. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore what? Rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath. Why? Because he can't go to God anymore. And he knows his time is short. Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Salvation. When all this happens, it's the culmination of God's plan from the beginning of time. And he did those things for us. He sent his son to die on the cross for us. He'll move heaven and earth for you. Salvation, deliverance, and completion of the divine program, the victory of the saints by the blood of the Lamb. It's only by forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there's what? No remission. Paul writes about it all the time. He writes about it all the time. It nullifies, the blood of the Lamb nullifies the accusation of Satan. The word of their testimony. This is the word of our testimony too. But it's basically predominantly for the tribulation saints right here. Because they're in this battle. They're in this battle. Opposes Satan lies by preaching truth. We talked about this last Sunday night. Folks, we've got to talk about truth. We've got to show truth because there's too many lies out there. And if we don't do it, who will? If you're waiting for some big shining light to come down out of heaven, wait about 11 o'clock tonight and just see lightning. But if you think God's going to come down here and intervene, He put us on the earth as the church to do those things. How is your testimony? When people look at you, do they see you as a Christian? Or do they see you as just another person? Do they see something different? Do they see you have divine power in you because you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? That's how you overcome Satan. That's how you overcome temptation. With the word of your testimony. But if you don't have testimony, you'll fail. And then lastly, they loved not their lives to death. The first part of Revelation talked about the seven letters to the churches. And one of those letters was to a church called Smyrna, where there was no condemnation. They loved not their lives unto the death, martyrdom. Satan's wrath is now totally unleashed. So not only do you have God's judgment coming, you have a double whammy. You have Satan doing this. Persecution of Israel in the Great Tribulation, verses 13 through 16. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly in the wilderness into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. Time, 1 year. Times, 2 years. Half a time, half a year. 1 + 2 + 1/2 = 3.5. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the woman and the earth helped the woman. You know why? Because God told it to. See, God doesn't catch, nothing catches God by surprise. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Satan's first target is Israel. It's been his target ever since God made Israel his chosen people. And it still is his target because he lost at Calvary. He lost at Calvary. When that stone rolled away, Christ came out of that tomb. It's over. Amen. It's over. Matthew chapter 24, verse 16, Christ talks about this. He says, let them which are in being what? In Judea. Where is Judea? It's Israel. So now you can go back and look at Matthew 24 and see that this is Christ talking about the same thing. Flee into the mountains. Whoop. The length of the persecution, 3.5 years. The method of persecution, how does Satan do this? With a great what? Flood. It could be a water, it could be a tsunami, it could be all that other stuff. It could be literal, it could be figurative. Doesn't matter. Folks, I tell you right now, you have an adversary and he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy Israel. And now, and God said, okay, you think that's good? Watch this. And he protects Israel. See, with divine help, he says, I bear you on. He gave him two wings of an eagle. Every time God delivers, it's got this picture. Look at Exodus chapter 19, verse 4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. In the wilderness, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 11 and 12. As an eagle stirred up her nest, fluttered over her young, spread abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did what? There is no salvation in any other. There's no deliverance in any other. It's either God or it's not. You're either saved or you're not. It's either Christ or you're not. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. See, the woman is not the church. It's Israel. Now there's another woman, Babylon the Great, the one with the ephah and the basket and all that other stuff that we studied in Zechariah. And then the persecution of the godly remnant of Israel. In verse 17. Now, when you're told and you're losing, and there's no way to win, you go get desperate, right? Satan gets desperate. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. In Zechariah, we studied this. In verse 13, verse 8, it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. Two-thirds of Israel. Who's left? Killed. That's Satan's anger at God's chosen people. I'm glad that we're not going to be there. You have a chance tonight not to go through this if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior. This should motivate us. We see in this chapter all of the players of spiritual warfare from time past to time future. Who are you following? Are you following the man-child? That's who we need to follow. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask to be with this time of invitation. Father, as we prepare for for the Lord's Supper tonight, Father, I just pray that just help us, Lord, to examine ourselves. Lord, we stand in awe of all the things that you've done for us. Help us, Lord, to be found worthy of your name. Help us, Lord, to have a real relationship with you. Help us, Lord, to have your word come alive to us. Help us, Lord, to have a testimony that will overcome. Be with us, time of invitation. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Just there.